I wasn't coming up with very much at all. The Bible, God, Jesus, Bible, always a good answer. Always a good answer. Thought I'd try to do something I've never preached before, some other topic, and, well, I just had no peace with it. I was studying this afternoon and thinking, we're going to be in Mark chapter number 10. It's all good. Just open up and start preaching. Sometimes in our teen group, we do popcorn preaching with our boys. Some of them like it. Some of them, Anthony just gave me a weird scowl. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. And while I was studying, my mind, my thoughts kept coming back to what I preached on Sunday to our teens. So, sorry, teenagers, you're gonna hit it twice. So the title of my message today is "Why Don't People Obey?" Our theme for the year in our youth group is the idea of what does the Lord want us to do, and what are we doing there today to get to that point. And so each month we had a different theme for the month. Theme of, all right, teenagers, what was theme for January? Salvation. All right, we got one that's paying attention, not sleeping. All right, for February. Chet? Holiness. All right. March. Well, you're not a teenager. Chris? No, that's not correct. What is that? Victorious Christian Life. That was the theme, the Victorious Christian Life. And for April, Chris? Compassion. For May? Prayer. May, June. Soul winning. July. Anthony? That's the month we're currently in right now. Obedience. All right. Obedience. Very good. And so I brought this message about obedience. And we've been taught from little kids why we should obey and why we need to obey. Obey our parents, obey those theories. But the idea for this month is obeying God, being obedient to what God has told us through reading our Bibles, through preaching of God's word, through godly counsel. What's God telling us? How do we obey? And so and as I was studying this out, I come across a question: why don't people obey God? I mean, God is creator of the universe. He is all-powerful, and there are certainly consequences for not obeying. So why in the world would somebody not obey the voice of God? And so that brought me to two little children. For those of you who have children, they tend to fight a lot. Those of you who were children at one point, which is everybody, if you have siblings, of course, you tend to fight with other kids, to fight with siblings. And I remember when I was a young kid, and my brother and sister would come and tell me what to do. There's a certain outrage to that comes up in a child's heart, at least in my heart. I don't know about you guys, but in my heart. And I thought about why don't we obey? And the first thing I thought of is I don't want to do what has been told. And I find in Christian's life that when God tells us what to do, sometimes we just don't want to do that. Just like a little kid, I don't want to necessarily do that. And we see the story in Mark chapter number 10. We'll pick up in verse number 17. It says, and when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, that do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross, and follow me." And he said, and he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" It's a fascinating story here This guy comes to the right source seeking eternal life, seeking seeking the greatest, the solution to the greatest need that any man, child, boy, and girl can ever have, eternal life, the problem with sin, and how can I inherit that? And Jesus tells him, hey, if you want to inherit eternal life, here's what you need to do. Go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, we know that right there is not how people get saved, correct? It's, people who get saved don't get saved by casting out everything you have, everything they have, and following Jesus Christ. That's the idea of being saved, is trusting Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, correct? But what was this young man's problem? When Jesus Christ told him exactly what he needed to do, why didn't he? Verse 22 tells us. Because he had great possessions. So what's the problem? He just didn't want to do it. Why? Because something else had his heart. His possessions, the things that he's accumulated over the years, we learn another passage that he's a ruler, a rich young ruler. And because the Lord didn't really have his heart, he did not want to do those things, he didn't. And that's exactly how we are. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That verse tells us that every single issue that we have stems from what? Stems from our heart. The Bible says, keep it, guard it, take care of it. Because everything that your life is going to encompass, everything that your life, every problem that you're going to have, all the issues that are associated with life are going to be derived from it. And the fact of the matter is, we don't obey, just like two little kids walking back, squabbling back and forth, because we don't love the Lord enough. The Lord does not have our heart. We see in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I believe it is, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, sorry, in verse number 10, a man by the name of Demas. Go there with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and verse number 10. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. What happened here? Who was Demas? Demas was a traveling partner. He was a part of the band that followed around with Paul as he was going on his missionary journeys. He was an integral part, just as much as John Mark and Luke was, and Barnabas and Silas, and he was a part of the evangelistic team of Paul, the apostle. What was Paul doing at that time? He was literally turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. At this point in time, there was no greater work that was going on in Christianity. It was Paul turning things upside down for the Lord. And what happened? I mean, Demas was around good preaching. Demas was encapsulated in the work, serving and doing what he could. But one day he decided to quit, to forsake the ministry. And the Bible says why? Because he loved the present world. No matter how we can coerce, no matter how we can force, little kids are, we can force them to obey us. There's consequences for obeying. My sister called this attitude adjustments. It was a spanking. But when you get 20 years old, who's going to come around and spank you? Right? You also may going to follow after where your heart is. That's natural things. And so, I see people laughing at that comment. You naturally follow where your heart's going to go. And if the Lord has your heart, it's easy to obey. It is. Just as much as a parent loves a child loves their parents. And so, for the most part, it's easy for them to obey. But when their heart goes away, when their desires, when their ambitions, what they want to do conflicts with what is being given them, then there's a problem. Christian, what is the Lord telling you to do? Who has your heart? Go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 5. So I see the first reason is I don't want to. I simply do not want to. 2 Kings chapter number 5. So as a kid, me or another sibling will go tell my other siblings what to do, my younger siblings. Hey, Dad told you to go do this. Or you need to go do this. One thing that, whether it's me or one of my other siblings, one thing we said was, you ain't my mama. You can't tell me what to do. So the title of my second point is this. You ain't my mama. We see here the story of Naaman. And we're pretty familiar with the story of Naaman since we just preached on that on Saturday. Pastor Russo did. But we have this king of this captain of the Syrian army coming to get healed. And we pick up in verse number 11. In verse number 11 it says, but Naaman was wroth. This is after the Elijah sent the messenger out to tell him exactly what he needed to do to be healed of his leprosy. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out unto me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parfar, rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he returned and went away in his rage. Why didn't he obey the word of the Lord? You ain't my mama. This is pride. This is exactly what it is. It is pride. And when my siblings come to me and say, hey, you need to go do this. You have no authority over me. You can't tell me what to do. It's my pride coming up. It's my pride saying, hey, I'm not going to do whatever you just told me to do. And when we obey, there's a certain element of submission that comes along with it. And we see Naaman here, he's told exactly what to do. We know about leprosy. We know how disfiguring it is. And it was a death sentence to anyone that had it. It was a isolation to anyone that had it. This was not a common cold disease. It was serious. But his pride was so great that he wouldn't listen to the word of God to be healed of it, no matter what he did. How is your pride today? Are you in obedience to the word of God? When God tells you to do something, no matter how uncomfortable it makes you, no matter how revealed or embarrassed that you become, do you obey? When you're sitting at the drive-thru and the lady is handing your food, and God's telling you, hey, she needs a tract. You need to talk to her about the Lord. Are you pulling at the pump and you see that biker guy that looks like he's killed a couple guys? And the Lord says, hey, he needs Jesus. You need to go talk to him. Do you obey? Well, there's always some other issue that comes up. And many times in his own, our prideful heart, saying, hey, I don't need to do that. Somebody else will get that. Hey, pride will stop us from doing a lot of different things. Pride will surely stop us from serving the Lord. We see in verse number 11 some excuses that he's made. It was different than he expected. What do you mean? I have to go the Jordan River? I thought he'll come out to me. I thought he'll just strike his hand in the place and call upon the name of the Lord. He was different from what he expected. And many times, the commandments, the orders, the word of the Lord is different than what we expect. There's a certain level of pride of pride here in the fact that Elijah didn't even come out to him. And what is the first thing that he says? Hey, I thought he was going to come out to me. I thought he was going to meet me face to face. I am the captain of the guard here. I just came through here and destroyed a lot of different things here. I demand respect. Sometimes we get that way with the Lord, don't we? It's easy to let our ego, our ambitions pop up inside of us. How about this? I just don't understand how this is going to work. If God has helped me to do such and such, I don't know how it's all going to work out. What do you say? Aren't these two rivers in Damascus better than... I don't understand how dipping seven times in the Jordan River is going to help me out. And the excuses that come up is that pride. God is saying, hey, I want to use you. I want to work with you, but are you willing? Did you notice something in the story? When was Naaman healed? Naaman was only healed when he obeyed the word of the Lord. Hey, Christian, God is only going to use you as long as you obey the word of the Lord. I pray for our teenagers all the time that the Lord will take them and use them in a mighty way. That God would do something in our youth group. But the fact of the matter is, God will not do anything with our youth group, with our church, unless we are willing to do anything He wants with us. How willing are you to obey the voice of the Lord? Let's go to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll look at verse number 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And so we see the Lord is telling his disciples to do a specific task. He's brought Peter, James, and John up to this mountain, and he tells them to pray with me. And the Bible says that they fell asleep. And we see not that they fell asleep because they just wanted to fall asleep, they just didn't care, but we see specifically that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is an inability. The Lord is telling the disciples to do something that their bodies are just not ready to do. The flesh is weak. I see another idea here. Why do two kids, if I go tell Benjamin to go to my car and drive to my house and go inside, excuse the mess, and bring out my TV and bring it here, why would he not be able to obey me? He doesn't know how to drive. I don't know if he can pick up my TV. He doesn't know where I live. All these problems come from an inability. And sometimes God put things in our life that are more than what we can chew, more than what we can deal with. But let's think about this for a second. Does God get glory from giving us something that is too much for us to be able to take, to bear? Does God sit in heaven and say, hey, I told so-and-so to go do something for me, but I know they can't do it. They're going to fail. My glory is here. I'm going to be glorified in somebody failing. God doesn't do that, right? No. Many times God tells us to do something that is far above our capabilities and designs because He wants to do something great in our life. And many times we look at the commandments of that the Lord gives us and the different things that He wants us to do and say, hey, I can't. Me be a missionary to the Congo? I can't do that. Me go and talk to so-and-so about Jesus? I don't know if I can do that. And we give up. Because we believe that that God has given us more than what we can chew. God never does that. I believe it was William Carey who once said, whom God calls, He equips. God is glorified by giving us something that we cannot bear, and through His power and His strength, accomplishing that purpose in us. Go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In Isaiah chapter number 40, we see a little picture of who God is. We'll pick up in verse number 27 of Isaiah chapter number 40. It says, Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and My judgment is passed over from our God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God delights in giving us things that we cannot do so He can fill us with His strength and His power and that He may be glorified. Isn't that what He said to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9? Hey, Paul was saying, Lord, I have this messenger of Satan to buffet me. Please remove it from me. Help me with this thing. And God responds to him, My strength is made perfect in weakness. When we empty ourselves of ourselves, our own talents, our own abilities, God can do something great with us. It doesn't matter what I can do. It doesn't matter how smart I am. When I obey the voice of God, I can do anything. Because whom God calls, He equips. In the Old Testament, there is a phrase. Study it out sometime. And ye shall know I am the Lord your God. And when the children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt, God sent some great things. He did some miraculous things in their life. And He says this, I'm doing all these different things that ye may know that I'm Lord thy God. Israel's being attacked by Syria many years later. And God sends great deliverance to them. The whole purpose is that ye may know that I am the Lord their God. God wants to show Himself strong and mighty to you. God wants to give you the strength to do whatever He tells you to. But how many times do we use our inability as an excuse to back out on God? God gives power. God gives strength. God is the one that allows us to live a victorious Christian life. God is the one that builds His church so that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Why do Christians not obey? First thing, they don't want to. Second thing, you ain't my mama. Third thing is, it's too much. I can't. So what is required for us to obey? This is something new for a teenager, so you can wake up now. What is required for us to obey? First of all, it requires a heart to obey. Again, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Go with me to Luke chapter number 9. Let's look at verse number 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want to focus on that word daily. If you're going to be obedient to the Lord, it takes a daily commitment to the Lord. If you're going to do anything for God, it takes a daily commitment. I try to tell my teenagers as often as I can, a decision that you made yesterday doesn't necessarily help you for today. But every single day is a new commitment to follow after God. A new commitment to say, hey, whatever you tell me to do today, Lord, I'm going to do that. And tomorrow's going to take a new commitment to the Lord. Everything you tell me to do today, I'm going to do. And tomorrow I'm going to do. And next week I'm going to do. What happens over a course of 10, 20 years? If every single day you're making a new commitment to the Lord, hey, I want to follow the Lord today. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me today. Well, in 10, 20 years ago, where are you going to be? Doing what the Lord wants you to do that day. Following after the Lord is a daily commitment. And lastly, let's go to John chapter number 10. Pick up in verse number 25. Jesus answered them and told, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want to focus here on verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hey, how are you going to be obedient to the word of the Lord? It takes a relationship. If somebody just come into our building, somebody you've never known, and told you, hey, I need you to go do this, this, that, and the other, how quickly are you to obey what they said? I need you to go to the store and buy me a turkey. I don't know if a single person in the room would just, oh, okay, and just go do it. Why? Because there's no relationship. What is required for a person to be obedient? It's got to be a relationship. This is what makes Christianity different from all the other religions of the world. Because our religion doesn't tell us that we have to do things because this is the way things are. We serve the Lord, we obey because we have a relationship with the Lord. He is alive. He is a person that we can interact with. We talk to him. He talks to us. No other religion in the entire earth can say that. So how close is your relationship with the Lord? Because the closer your relationship with the Lord, the more obedient you're going to be. So three things that are required. A heart. A daily commitment, most importantly, a daily relationship with the Lord. So, how is your obedience? Let's all stand. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for allowing us to be in your church house, Lord, and allowing us to dive into your word, Lord. I pray to you to open our hearts, Lord, our minds, Lord. Help us be ready, willing to be obedient to whatever you have for us today, Lord. And this week, we're going to be challenged with that again. We're going to be tempted of the devil. We're going to be tested of you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to make that daily commitment that we are to follow you, Lord. And there's no limit to what you can do in this place with people that are dedicated and willing to obey you at every call, every turn, Lord. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.